Silence is golden, especially when it comes to brakes. That's why Napa Silent Guard are built to be one of the smoothest and most quiet brakes on the market. Made with fiber-reinforced shims that eliminate noise for the life of the pad, rubber-coated hardware for a better fit, and quality design that meets and exceeds OE performance. Silent Guard brakes deliver the stopping power drivers demand. Available now at Napa locations nationwide.
Hello again. It is Crew Call here on the Motor Racing Network, taking you into the garage area and talking to the folks that make the race cars go around the racetrack. We are so glad that you have joined us. Steve Post, pit reporter for Motor Racing Network, joined by 25-time and championship-winning crew chief Todd Gordon. Hello, Todd. How are you?
I'm great.
And you're great. I just got back from Martinsville.
80-some degrees and sunny.
Unreal.
At Martinsville.
Martinsville in
means
October.
The tire lays rubber down, the racing gets really good.
Yes, it does. And it did. Mm-hmm. They were all over that racetrack. Fascinating race, because you expect a lot of beating and banging and late race cautions at Martinsville. We had some beating and banging, but we didn't have the late race cautions, and it turned into a... There was some fuel saving going on as well, which you don't think about when you think about Martinsville.
Yeah, I looked at it, and Ryan Blaney pitted three times.
Yeah.
500-lap race at Martinsville. He pitted three times. Tires just, Goodyear brought a new tire, laid a lot of rubber down, made the racetrack really wide, made it maneuverable. I think kudos to that. They didn't lose a lot of lap time.
Yeah.
So, guys, just you ran to a... Who would have thought you'd run a fuel window for the final run at Martinsville? And, guys, we had Tyler Reddick come to pit road with five to go because he was out of fuel. And he stopped at 325. That's the main stop for everybody was 325. There were some guys that came... I don't know. It was 3:00-something.
3:06 or something like
that. Yeah. And you know, some of those guys came back and topped off. I think Kyle Larson might have topped off after that. Chase Elliott tried to run that one long and see if I applaud the effort from some of these guys, because they had the opportunity. If we got to the point where we got to 450, 460, 470, where we've seen the late caution here, then they'd be in a better track position place to play that game. But
track position, and then you come down pit road, you take care of your fuel shortage and be in good shape. I love it. I like the race Drew Blickensurfer called with Eric Emerald, which is the same, which was, you know, no, he was 325.
He was two tires at 325.
He was two tires.
I think he may have come at 306.
He did 306, and
he came back and did two tires and fuel at 325. Got himself back out front.
I love the call by Drew Blick.
And really, they were a good car. They were really good.
Yeah.
They just... I'm going to say it. I know I'm biased, but that was a back of the barn.
Yeah.
Blaney put on a clinic.
Right. That car, that driver, that team performed very, very well from the beginning of the weekend to the checkered flag.
Yeah. Yeah. 11th in qualifying, probably the stumble that I would say that they had, but that was classic Ryan Blaney. That was track rubbers up and Ryan is really good at that place when it rubbers up. He can do two things, and we saw both of them. I'll go back to it. We saw him just wrap the curb where he was an inch and a half off the curb the whole way around it. Yeah. Like, he could just roll that. That's something I've watched and just admire Ryan for.
Radio traffic on other teams say, you can't wrap the curb. The 12 cars wrapping the curb. I heard that two or three times from crew chief scanning during that race.
I've won there with Joey Logano. Yeah. Ryan Blaney is exceptional
at that place.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. So just get, because when there's a lot of rubber down there, the right side tires lay all the rubber and you got to get off that rubber. So the way you get off of it is either straddle it, which puts you up a half a groove. You go all the way up above it.
Right.
We saw Blaney roll the top around. Yeah. I mean,
around some drivers,
around some really good cars too. Or you have to be really disciplined to get the left sides that far, you know, an inch and a half off the curb, and you can stay under where most of the guys have put the rubber in. Ryan can do all three, and it showed. And when he got to traffic, I mean, Eric Amarola was in a great position. You and I talked before this program, but he was out to almost a 6-second lead on Ryan. It was 5 and something.
Yeah, 5 and change.
When he looked in, it's like, can he run him back down? They got to traffic. Ryan just cut them up like sliced bread.
That car just maneuvered so well. I mean, you talk about, you know, we talk about this when we go to a Kansas, are you good on the top or are you good on the bottom or somewhere else? And there you've got to be both to win. Blaney could wrap the corner better than anybody else, and his car appeared to be more maneuverable than anyone else. That's a tough combination, and with a good driver like Blaney too.
And in post race and in victory lane interviews, he talked about the fact that their plan was not to use their tires up early in the run, yeah, so that they had it when they got to traffic. And that's next level thinking,
right?
That's just with a helmet on. That's
yeah,
best car won,
right?
And honestly, Denny Hamlin and Chris Gabehart, they did a really good job.
They did.
They were, I think, the second best car.
Yeah, I would say so. I would say they were.
And yeah, and I think removed as much from everybody else as probably what Blaney was from them.
Right.
They just weren't the best.
They weren't the best, and they needed to be. On the backside of this, what a gutty effort by William Byron.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, it was, I had their pit. Mm-hmm. There were times it was painful to listen to.
I heard if we don't come down pit road and change four springs and four shocks, we shouldn't even bother trying.
Yeah, exactly. And then they had a stint in the middle or toward the 2/3 mark where they actually got it pretty good. And then I don't know what happened in the end. It wasn't pretty good anymore. And finally, I think Rudy or someone says, you cannot lose one more spot. You know, they were 19th and Denny was 4th or 5th, so Denny could have gained 3 more.
Yep.
They couldn't go any further backward. And the next thing you know, but you could almost, you know, you can't see in these cars, you can't see what the driver's doing, but you could kind of almost tell by the car language. It was like William was like, okay, I'm not going to lose any more spots. It was almost like you could see him boat up there, and then he picked up a couple along the way.
And the little bit I heard, now you scanned the whole time, but it wasn't Rudy being like authoritarian. No. It was Rudy like jumping in the car with him.
Yeah.
Like
yes, it
being
was
a cheerleader of it, we're good right now, but we can't lose anymore. We got to hang right here.
Right. Like, yeah. It wasn't a confrontational or adversarial thing. It was stating the fact. And I'm here with you.
Yeah.
He just, which is what we've noted when a couple of years ago, when the gurus at Hendrick Motorsports put that pair together, that's what they saw because of their history together back at Kyle Busch Racing.
Yeah.
And they have that trust back and forth so that it doesn't, I don't, to my knowledge, I've heard some snarky back and forth, but I haven't heard it between those two. You know,
there was one point Rudy came on cheerleading and William said, what am I supposed to do with that? And Rudy's like, nothing, just doing a great job, man. Just like exactly. He was just being positive
for him. It's a great combination. It really, truly is. So fun stuff. A Chase Briscoe, top five finish. Mm-hmm. Joey Logano at points. Logano, now you want to talk about running the top of the racetrack. At one point in that race. Three wide top and going.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they had a pretty good race car as well.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting to see how everybody's kind of played out. I thought it was a great weekend and a great race. Even though we didn't have any cautions, we had a lot of racing.
There was a lot going on.
Racetrack took so much rubber.
It's unreal.
Goodyear brought a new tire there, and I think they accomplished some of what they needed to. And a lot of what they were after was bringing a softer tire that would lay rubber down when it was colder.
Right.
Well, we had 80 degrees out.
80 degrees, yeah.
So we laid a lot of rubber down.
Yeah.
So much that it wiped out the pace car.
Pace car. I know my buddy Jesse Delavo is the pace car driver. And Jesse, pretty spry getting from one pace car to the backup pace car. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
It was.
Apparently the rubber that clumped up. It
took something out from underneath the car.
It knocked the wiring harness off fuel pumps.
Is that what it was?
Yeah,
okay. It was a wiring issue. So
that's what I heard. That's what I heard.
Martinsville. You never know when you go to Martinsville because it just is so much fun. And then Saturday.
Oh.
Wow. And a lesson in kiddies never give up. Justin Allgaier, Jim Pohlman. I mean, this was a team. I scanned them also. I had them also. This is a team that spent 249 laps whooped. I mean, man, they just, oh my gosh. It was just, there were times where it was like Eddie DeHaan's a spotter on that thing. There were times it was like, I just got to change the channel because I can't listen to this anymore because they just, they it's funny because they were whooped, but it doesn't get nasty. It's just, oh my God, we can't do this, we can't do that. The next thing you know, everyone's bouncing off each other and they're going to Phoenix to run for the championship. Just kids never give up. Justin Allgaier, they never gave up, and they fought a good battle at the end and picked up the win.
Got to keep your eyes out for our windshield.
You really do. And but that was wild. The thing, the visual I'll have, and then Cole Custer.
Yeah.
You know, boy, I'd like to win a race backward on fire. Well, Cole Custer transferred into the playoffs backward on fire. That's just like, that is the ultimate, like, that's a Days of Thunder line, you know. Yeah. I mean,
I'm not sure that he needed to, but
it was spectacular.
Cover your butt. If you think, I mean, Andy Houston was up on the thing and said, fire that thing up, back that cross line, just get credit for this lap.
Awesome.
Just in case. I mean, that's what you got to do in these situations.
This was you know, when post-race ends and you see a little bit of it, you're in the booth and you know Chris Wilner and I are running around, and Martinsville's mm-hmm. one where you just run in circles at that. Because yeah, John Hunter Nemechek sat on the frame rails in turn number two. You had whatever was going on in turn number four. You had Austin Hill is in the care center. You have Sheldon Creed out in turn one. Justin Allgaier's wadded up race cars in turn number two. It was just like, my God, are they going to be able to clean this place up in time to go cup racing tomorrow? Because yeah. They destroyed cars. The only turn that did not have a destroyed car, I think, was turn three. That's about the only piece of racetrack that didn't have a destroyed car in it. So
crazy.
Wild
crazy.
Stuff at Martinsville. And that sets off the playoff run. And that's what we're going to do here today on Crew Call. We're going to just dive in to all three series and the playoffs, the drivers, the crew chiefs, and what everyone needs to do. So that's what we're going to do. When we come back, we're going to talk about the NASCAR Cup Series and the championship run Sunday afternoon at Phoenix.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical, underage sale prohibited. Introducing Zone Nicotine Pouches, the perfect balance of unparalleled comfort, longer-lasting flavor, and nicotine that satisfies. Whether you're zoning in during the race or zoning out after a tough day at work, Zone gets you there faster and keeps you there longer. Available in 7 flavors and in 6 and 9 milligram strengths. Find Zone at ZonePouches.com and retailers near you. Own your Zone with Zone Nicotine Pouches.
Welcome back. It is Crew Call here on the Motor Racing Network. Todd Gordon and Steve Post breaking down the championship four contest. We're going to talk about the Cup Series in this segment. Then we'll be back in a little bit and talk about Xfinity and Truck Series. Want to remind you, if you like what you're seeing here on Crew Call, like, share, re-X, retweet, put it on your Instagram, whatever you need to do, spread the word. We have a great time doing it, and we do appreciate you spreading the word about what we're doing here, and that's how all the cool kids are doing it these days with podcasts and with these YouTube shows. Todd, when we look at the Cup Series championship run at Phoenix, we have got Kyle Larson and Cliff Daniels, Christopher Bell and Adam Stevens, Ryan Blaney and Jonathan Hassler, William Byron and Rudy Fugel. Boy, I'm telling you what, first and foremost, just the pairings there are all really, really matched up pairings of driver crew chief. And just knowing these guys, they are all really good combinations.
Yeah, really good combinations. And it's probably, you talk about the pairing, but how about the parity?
Yes, there's that then too.
I feel like all four of these, you can make arguments for all four of these. And when you look at the odds, they're about equal.
Yeah.
Even in Vegas. Maybe Kyle Larson's got a little bit of a bump, mm-hmm. but
yeah.
I don't think he's my favorite.
Let's go back. Phoenix in the spring, these four finished in the top six.
Yep.
William Byron won the race, Ryan Blaney finished second, Larson finished fourth, and Christopher Bell was the slacker. He finished sixth. So the idea, these four are likely going to be running for the win. This has historically been the way the championship race has played out. And what in the spring would lead us to believe that these four are not going to be running for the win? I mean, it's just that good.
Yeah, I think these four are really, really good. I think you can put all four of them in situations. There's strengths to each of the organizations. There's challenges within each of the teams of where you could just not say you're going to be dominant to the other three. It'd be fun to see how it all plays out.
one of the things, and we'll get into it a little deeper here. One of the things that we have is we have a 1 hour practice session on Friday.
50 minutes.
50 minutes. Okay, 50 minutes. Yes, it's a 1 hour broadcast. It's a 50 minute practice session. Yeah, yeah.
Crew chief.
There's 10 minutes. Those ten minutes are huge.
Yeah, I'll take those ten minutes if you give them to me.
But. What is the approach? What is the plan? What is the strategy going into that 50-minute practice session?
Yeah, I think you got to get an idea where your car goes in the long run. They've got three sets of tires for 50 minutes.
Yeah.
That's more tires than, like, you can go out, you look at it, I think lap time there is around 28 seconds. Mm-hmm. Let's call it 30, just right. it's two laps a minute.
Right.
So in 50 minutes, if I can go make a 20-lap run, right, and we use up 10 minutes, I'm going to come back, I'm going to probably use up 10 minutes making a change. And I'll make another 20-lap run. Now I'm 30 minutes in.
Right.
I got time for one more 10-minute change and a 20-lap run. So I could do 3:30s. I could do maybe that. But I might want to see what my qualifying speed's going to be like, because a pit stall one is going to be big coming to the race.
Yeah. We saw that a couple years ago.
And the way they pick pits, the championship four are the first four picked.
Right.
They could qualify.
31st through 35th.
They will be...
First through 31st.
So the fastest of the championship four will have the opportunity to pick pit stall one. It will happen.
Yeah.
And then the second of fastest, and then the fastest of the non-championship four will pick fifth.
Yeah.
So winning qualifying against the other three is a huge advantage. As we saw 2 years ago, Kyle Larson won a championship because of his pit crew and pit stall.
Yes, because of Saturday's qualifying.
He was the fourth best car.
Yeah.
I'm just being honest. He was the fourth best car, came down pit road. They came down fourth. Pit crew just rocked a pit stop, and he got off because the camera line's only, 20 feet in front or something
right
like that?
Yeah.
They came off first and won the championship.
Right, absolutely. Because what you did at that point, you put Kyle Larson in front of a 30-lap Saturday night feature.
Yep.
My money is on Larson. At that point, my money is on Larson because that thing fell into his wheelhouse.
You know, I love that you say that, but the spring race, Larson controlled the last restart.
You're right.
And he got schooled by William Byron.
Yeah, you're right about that. That's true.
If you come down, and that's part of what's great about this is that.
Yeah, you're right.
When
about
you
that.
Talk about it. If we get down to a late restart or a late caution, and all four of these guys are in the hunt, I think William Byron's my favorite.
Because he's just so savage.
He's a savage
on restarts.
And the pit crew, when the pressure's on, they have put him in position to win races.
Yep. Early this year, there was a couple times they put him right on the front row, and
they've done it, and then he takes advantage of it.
Yeah.
I think Larson is, he's just got so much speed.
Yeah.
He is. He's just got so much speed.
Yeah.
I think he races really, really well. But I wouldn't count Blaney out.
Blaney was by far
the best car here last year.
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
Struggled through about 10th and came out with a second place finish in the spring and tons of momentum. They've been the best car the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, they've been really good. They've been so strong. Yeah.
And then you've got Adam Stevens sitting on the box for C-Bell, who's won two of these championships.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Christopher, you know, up until Christopher, what were his numbers? Second and first the 2 weeks, and wherever he finished sixth or whatever it was at Martinsville.
Yep. So, although the history has said this isn't one of Christopher's stronger racetrack.
Yep. And he finished sixth there in the spring, which is
fourth of the four
fourth
we're talking
of the
about.
Four, yeah. Yeah. Actually, he has no top fives. He's the only driver with no top fives at this racetrack.
Like this racetrack, I would say as I look through this. I'd say they're the last of the four.
I talked to Chris. It's ironic. I'm flashbacking to a conversation 2 weeks ago I had with Christopher.
Mm-hmm.
One of his worst racetracks was Homestead. It turned out pretty good.
It turned out all right for him.
So that's championship caliber. The numbers say this track isn't as good for him as it is for anyone else.
Right.
Yeah. Stay tuned. Christopher would be a worthy champion and quite capable of doing it. Yeah.
Preseason, he was my pick.
Yeah, absolutely.
I had him as my pick.
This 1 hour, this 50-minute practice session, how does the global organization factor into this for the championship four? And it's interesting because Hendrick.
Great question. Hendrick, I'm going to go there.
Yes, exactly.
I'm going to go there. I think as you look through it, I see the fact that the I think this is a negative for Hendrick Motorsports because you have two agendas that you're trying to accommodate.
Yes,
the 5 and the 24.
Right.
And the sharing, how do you handle that when you're racing your teammate? I mean, you still share information, but there's still going to be that kind of split, and there's four teams there, but who's supporting who on what practice plan? I think I think that's a drawback. I think that's something that the 20 car and the 12 car have an advantage on. I think, you know, the 20 car is going to go there, and everybody at JGR is feeding them information to help them win a championship.
Right. Same thing with Team Penske.
I've worked at Team Penske. You I've been part
it.
Of it.
You've been on the receiving end of it. You've been on both sides of it.
We watched Ryan Blaney last year be the best car there and not win the race.
Right. Just, yeah, exactly. It's exactly what
But Joey's car got a lot better after Ryan really dominated practice.
Right. Absolutely.
So
they figured it out.
I think the places that as a crew chief, I wanted to be the only guy in my organization in the playoffs.
Right. Yeah.
And I think in a lot of ways, Jonathan Hassler has an advantage because Joey went out on the round of 16. Right. So they've had multiple weeks.
Correct. Yeah.
That the 12 teams are the major focus.
Right. Exactly. And then, you know, locking themselves, you know, now they didn't lock themselves in early on this one, but still, They've got a lot of energy, a lot of effort into it.
And our last two champions, this is where I waffle through all this. Our last two champions won the first race of the third round, which was Vegas.
Yep.
That was Kyle Larson 2 years ago, Joey Logano last year. So that's advantage Kyle.
Yep. That's the beauty of this thing. That's why you're going to have to tune into Motor Racing Network, because you can make a case for anybody.
Yeah, I can play negatives and positives for every organization.
Because they're all that good.
Mm-hmm.
Overnight, one of the big topics in the garage area the last 2 years is we get no practice time, and then we got to go right straight to qualify.
Yep.
We get 50 minutes of practice session, and you get to sleep on it, crew chief, before qualifying.
There's no sleep.
Well, I understand that. You get to not sleep over it for 24 hours or 20 hours or whatever it is. That's drastically different than what we do now.
Yeah.
Dial yourself out, dial yourself in. Is it possible to do either one of those?
Yes. It is.
I knew the answer before I asked that. You can do both.
Yeah. But everybody looks at this opportunity, and you'll get some sleep, but you'll be up going through notes, especially all of these guys have teammates that they've got to look through their notes and their comments. And you'll talk to your crew chiefs on your other teams in your organization and figure out what their feel was. You can read their notes, but you really want to get more of the feel for it. And then you deliberate over that of okay, what do I want to take out of this? Because to your point, this is a place we can change geometries, we can change springs, we can change shocks and shock settings, we can change heights, we can change anything we want to right now because we haven't been through technical inspection yet. Most race weekends we come through, they go through technical inspection. They go to pit road. They get 20 minutes of practice. You can adjust the sway bar arm positions, which makes them softer or stiffer, and you can change heights and shock settings.
Yep.
Here you can change cambers. Yeah. You can change geometries. You can change springs.
Yeah.
You may have a couple different thoughts, and you may have one of your teammates that, okay, I want to be really stiff in the front, or I want to be really soft in the front.
Right.
Which way do I want to go? Well, let's try them both. And then we get overnight to kind of digest all that information, look at how it was in traffic, and make changes to it. It's a different racing than we've been through for most of the season.
Yeah. So Chris Gabehart can expect the 4:30 a.m. call from Adam Stevens.
You got all winter to make up for it.
Chris, I just thought of something. Yeah. I mean, that's the beauty of what it is.
And I don't think it'd be a 4:30 call.
No, I understand that.
I bet you 10 o'clock at night, there's still conversations going on.
Absolutely.
And that's just part of what it is.
Well, yeah, because you've got Jonathan Hassler has Paul Wolf as a resource.
Yes. Jonathan was Paul's engineer at one point.
Right.
Jonathan was my engineer at one point.
Yeah, exactly.
Great relationship there. And
yeah, absolutely. Adam Stevens has Chris Gabehart as a resource. You've got to tap into everything you've got.
Yes.
And in the middle of the night, when that thought comes to your mind, it's like, hey, what do you think of this? It's going to be fun. And then we'll obviously go on Saturday or Sunday, we'll go 312 laps, so 500 kilometers.
Yep.
Short race, but a lot can go on in the course of that race.
Yeah.
Really, truly
yeah.
can.
Yeah, a great, great place. It's Phoenix is aging into a great racetrack.
Yeah.
Really it was it tough when it was first paved, pretty much one groove. They did put some traction compound on a couple years ago and it kind of widened it out. I think we're seeing that the racetracks are aging into being wider. Where you can run the second groove at 3 and 4 and 1 and 2. Heck, you can run on the. I mean, Kevin Harvick's shown us we can run it on a flat.
Down on the apron, yeah.
To guys running up at the wall and then turning. It's getting really like the way this place is aged and kind of aging into a racetrack.
See what happens. What do you think, crew chief? Are you into doing picks or not?
I think you could pick all four of them.
That's the thing.
I think you could pick, and it depends on the situation.
I think the situation will determine.
I think if this is a long run, and I'm going to be wrong here, but I think if it's a long run race, it's a race between Larson and Blaney.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, if you look at it,
yep.
They're two guys that make speed in a long run. If it's a short run, I mean, if it's a late caution, I think my edge goes to William Byron.
Right,
because I think on pit road they have shown this year that they're able to knock out that under pressure stop. All of them. William does a really good job getting in there, getting out. I think in that case, I really like Adam Stevens, and I think he's a mastermind. The numbers don't tell me that Christopher's going to be.
Yeah,
I don't see a position where he's the dominant guy.
The numbers don't show that, but again, with Adam Stevens on the pit box, you could.
So let me go back and back up with a little tidbit.
Yes, sure.
Pit stall one is going to be a big deal, which means qualifying is going to be a big deal.
Which?
How many playoff poles has Christopher Bell had?
Four in the playoffs, yes.
And outside of Talladega, restrictor plate, a Toyota has won the pole of every playoff race.
So exactly.
They go win the pole, or they're the fastest of the four, and they've got pit stall one. There's an inherent advantage.
That
turns things towards them.
That turns things towards them.
I could make an argument for everybody. This is a great race you got to tune into.
It's going
to
be awesome. It is going to be awesome. We are going to be there covering it on Sunday afternoon, Motor Racing Network. We'll give you all the times here in a little bit. What we're going to do, we're going to step away. When we come back, we're going to break down the Xfinity Series and the Truck Series. We'll give you all those start times and get you set up for the big championship weekend. Stay with us.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.
Welcome back. It is Crew Call here on the Motor Racing Network. Todd Gordon and Steve Post. We just broke down the Cup Series. Let's talk a little bit about the NASCAR Xfinity Series. I love these combinations of driver crew chief. Sam Mayer and Marty Lindley.
Yes.
Young kid and old savvy veteran. Justin Allgaier and Jim Pullman. You've got veteran driver and journeyman crew chief.
But they were together back in ARCA.
Yes.
So they've got a history.
They've got a history together.
And we talked about that with Rudy Fugel and William Byron.
Right.
You know, they go back to... So this is kind of that same...
Same combination.
There's a lot of history.
There's a lot of history there and a lot of comfort there. There really is. These two work well together. John Hunter Nemechek and Ben Bayshore, you got Ben Bayshore on your pit box. You're in good hands. That's a rock. Cole Custer and Jonathan Toney. Now, there's Jonathan Toney, not necessarily the name brand crew chief, but has done a wonderful job, and him and Cole have really gelled well this year.
I've interviewed Jonathan Toney a couple of times on a late shift on Sirius. Had him on Monday night.
Yep.
This guy's been at Stuart Haas since he got out of college in 2003.
Wow.
Was actually the engineer, I believe, on Tony Stewart's championship.
Yeah.
So he understands. It was interesting to listen to him because for the first time out, he had a lot of perspective that was right about what we need to do, what we don't need to do. He's not been the crew chief in these pressure situations, but he's been through the pressure situations as a team guy. And as the crew chief's right-hand man, he gets it. He's very grounded. I think these two are really in a great position.
Yeah, he's done a great job. I mean, Cole Custer has done a great job,
yep,
too. They really, truly have. When you look at this, John Hunter Nemechek, a 7-time winner this year. He's probably been the car to beat this year. I was looking at like laps led. He's led like 400 more laps than Justin Allgaier. He's led a bunch of laps and everything. But recent history says Sam Mayer is fast, but three of those were on road courses. There's a little topsy-turviness to the numbers and the stats when you look at this thing.
It is when you look at all of them. I think, Allgaier came off of a win. You just talked about it earlier, came off a win when they struggled all day. So they put it together there. I don't know that it's going to be a great race to watch.
Really, truly is.
I do think, John Hunter's had a lot of speed. I don't feel like he's capitalized at the big moments.
Yep.
But he's got Ben Bayshore on his box.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good general to lead the ship. So I think Ben's got something, a chip on his shoulder from not being a cup guy now.
Yeah.
He's done an extraordinarily good job here.
Yeah, he really, truly has. When we look at Phoenix in the spring, it was a Joe Gibbs Racing Toyota that won, but it was Sammy Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Our playoff drivers, we talked about this in Cup. The playoff drivers were all in the top six. The best playoff driver was sixth, John Hunter Nemechek. Sam Mayer was 11th. Cole Custer was 12th, and Justin Allgaier crashed out and finished 36th. Now, they all did lead laps, though, during that spring race.
Yeah.
So, kind of tough to read there to get an idea of what we're going to have.
It is.
And then I think this is one of those where how others interact. I think the Cup Series, we're going to have those four guys going to be the players most of the day. Maybe someone else will get up in there. This one here, to me, how others interact with this thing could really, really be a big factor as well.
I think at the Cup show, there's more respect for the championship four. I think here, everybody's still trying to make a name for themselves. And that means that there's a little less respect for it. I think everybody races them harder. And it's there's so many agendas. This last race a year and
right. You've
got situations. I mean,
you're ride hunting. You're looking for a ride. You told that sponsor you were going to get X number of wins. You told them this. You haven't delivered. You haven't done this. You haven't done that. There's a lot on the line.
There is. And I think it forces this race to be more inclusive.
I think if you're those championship four, you've got to be much more conscious of all those other strategies probably than the Cup Series guys do.
Yeah.
I think you've got to be conscious about what's going to happen when Sheldon Creed and Austin Hill are running side by side. You got situations like that. I'm just saying, you've got to be familiar with that because I don't sense with these, if the spring is an indication, these four were not nearly as dominant as the four on the Cup side were.
I agree with that. Although I would say, Sam Mayer has,
well,
Marty Lindley has done a really good job of helping Sam Mayer grow into being a race car driver.
Yeah.
And obviously, four wins, three of them on road courses, but one at Homestead.
They did get Homestead, yep.
And so this pairing's maturing.
Yeah.
I mean, Stuart Haas Racing, they found some speed.
Yeah.
I mean, Riley Herbst has been really strong.
Lights out.
He's been really strong, and that's coming forward. Like I said, Ben Bayshore and JGR, yeah, they've all got speed. And is this a year that the Junior Motorsports capitalizes? Last year hurt them.
Yeah.
They had three of the four and they walked away with nothing.
Right. Absolutely.
And, but, Allgaier is kind of a savvy veteran. We'll see where it plays out.
Yeah. Yeah. I think if you're sitting there and you're looking at this globally from a team perspective, Junior Motorsports has got to shut the door on one of these things.
I think this is a better situation. I talked about it with the Cup guys of the Hendrick teams. You've got a split agenda. Well, we don't have a split agenda. I mean, last year it was every
three,
team for themselves.
Right.
And nobody's, because everybody's on their own.
Now
you've got everybody kind of helping out
with
Jim Pullman.
There with Allgaier and Mayer, you've got two of them, but you have 50, the odds are 50% there. It's a little still more focused than last year was.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that helps a little bit more. Yeah. And last year's lessons, I think, have to help.
Yeah, absolutely. Xfinity Series race Saturday afternoon. We'll give you the times here in just a little bit. The Tough Trucks of NASCAR kick it off on Friday night. And again, let's talk just quickly about some of these crew chief pairings. Corey Heim and Scott Zeppidelli, Carson Hocevar and Phil Gould, Ben Rhodes and Rich Lucius, Grant Enfinger and Jeff Hensley. First off, those four crew chiefs are four of my favorite people on the planet. When I walk into the truck series garage and need some answers, if I find any of those four guys, I know that it's one stop shopping because I can get what I want.
Yeah.
These pairings are fascinating. It really jumps out. What in the truck series jumps out at you, Todd?
Just the storylines that are available.
Yeah.
It's incredible. I mean, Corey Heim has had two finishes that weren't in the top 10 this year.
Yeah.
One was a speedway race, and I don't know what the other one was, but I mean, Scott Zeppidelli and Corey Heim have had speed everywhere.
Right.
They're incredible. But at times they've looked dominant, and then by the end of the race, they've lost a little something. So it'd be interesting to see how that plays out here.
Yeah.
The one that's really intriguing to me, Ben Rhodes and Rich Lucius, they have manufactured opportunities.
Yes, they have.
You look back to last week, or the last
Homestead,
Homestead, last truck race. They weren't in it. They took a gamble, put tires on at a time nobody else did, took their last set when, like, at a fuel run to go, and put themselves in position, and they transferred. You look back to the championship race last year. They manufactured track position and had a shot at it.
Second place finish last year. Yep.
They've done it without having great equipment. They can get their equipment, you know, a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
They're interesting because they manufacture well.
Yeah. Yeah, they really do. They don't have the Heim Zeppidelli speed.
Right.
But they get creative with their
race calls. What a story it would be for Grant Enfinger and GMS's last truck race to walk away a champion.
They're the emotional send everyone out the door. And yeah, that would be a spectacular win. And this team is performing really well. And Jeff Hensley called it in the shot. If I'm starting a truck series team, Jeff Hensley is on a very short list of people I'm trying to get crew chief.
Yeah.
And Grant is really driving trucks well now.
This is a good pairing. You know, they kind of came together middle of last year.
Yep.
They put this pairing back together. And Grant was kind of ho-hum. And then they got together and you saw them. Yep. The chemistry here is phenomenal. Yep.
That was a reunited thing. They'd been apart, and then they were together, then apart, and back together again.
Yep.
And Jeff Hensley, a 22-time winning crew chief here, and the most veteran of them all. And then the Carson Hocevar, Phil Gould, just...
Yeah.
Part of me says it's house money, but it's not house money because they've been so good. Mm-hmm. I think they won
Homestead, right?
Right, absolutely. You got Rich Lucius and Ben Rhodes who are manufacturing things. You got Scott Zeppidelli and Jeff Hensley who belong there, championship just caliber.
Speed.
And you got Phil Gould and Carson Hocevar who maybe haven't done this yet. But expectations are
there's a reason why Carson has a cup ride.
Yes, there is. Exactly. Phil Gould, a 7-time winner, three back in 2019 with Ross Chastain, four of them with Carson Hocevar this year. This is one of those that as they evolve, this would be a big step in their evolution for both of them. And they're perfectly capable. I mean, they're perfectly capable.
And they're really good at making themselves better during the race.
They're the ones over the course of the run. If they're sitting there at the end of stage one with a fifth place truck, you better watch out.
They figure out how to get better.
Yeah.
They really do a good job of it.
You're right about that. That's a really good point because that is a team that does that.
All three of our championship races, I can make arguments for anybody.
Yep. When we look at Phoenix, we did not have a spring race at Phoenix. We ran there last fall. All four finished in the top 10. Zane Smith won the race. Ben Rhodes finished second. Grant Enfinger finished sixth. Corey Heim was seventh. And Carson Hocevar was 10th. So, pretty good. Pretty good stuff.
It's going to be great stuff.
Yes, it is. Man, is it going to be a great weekend out at Phoenix. And Motor Racing Network, we are going to be busy out there. We've talked about the trucks. We've talked about Xfinity. We've talked about the Cup Series. We're not even going to start with that, though. We're going to wrap up the ARCA West Series on Friday, 2:30 Eastern Time, the Desert Diamond Casino West Valley 100. Then we come back Friday night. Cup Series practice, the 50-minute Cup Series practice at 8 o'clock Eastern Time, at 9:30 Eastern Time, the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series Championship race. Saturday, 4:30 Eastern Time, NASCAR Cup Series pole qualifying. 6:30 Eastern Time, NASCAR Xfinity Series Championship race. And on Sunday, 2 o'clock Eastern Time, we will crown the NASCAR Cup Series champion from Phoenix International Raceway. Again, that airtime is 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Motor Racing Network going to be there all weekend long. It is going to be a fun weekend out in Phoenix.
Yeah, it's a fabulous finish to a great season. And keep in mind that your clocks fall back.
Well, ours don't.
Sunday night, but at the racetrack, they don't. That actually makes that easier.
It does make it easier.
So your watch doesn't change.
Yes.
You don't have to worry about your alarm clock because you go there 3 hours behind. You end up coming out of here 2 hours
Someone's
behind.
Already pointed this out. Next year, the schedule is a little wonky and we're a week later.
Oh.
So next year, we've got to deal with time zone changes and time changes.
So you get 2 weeks of,
yes,
of watching
exactly.
It.
Yeah, exactly. But this year, no. Time zone changes. Those of you in the sport, those of you in Arizona, we don't change the clocks. Crazy stuff, that's for sure. Factor that into everything as well. He's Todd Gordon, I'm Steve Post, and we appreciate you joining us this time here on MRN's Crew Call.